Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Don't you just appreciate what God's doing in our lives here? I'll tell you, it's pretty amazing. It really is. Just continually, I love hearing people's stories, and I ask them regularly. You know, it's interesting, because you'll know people a long, long time, and I'll say, man, do you mind just telling me your story? And when they do, you can see people's hearts swell, you can see their countenance change, and that's what God does for us in our lives, and see what happens. And y'all know that history is his story. That's why everything's BC and AD. The dividing line is Jesus all the time, and he is in our lives. And when history becomes when Jesus, the whole idea is when Jesus comes into our life and affects our story. And you think about it, that's what he wants to do tonight. He wants to come in to our lives and affect and maybe even change our stories and make things better. Because I know that we live in this world, and this world it's a broken world that has a demonic influence everywhere you look. And you know, you think that, and I think for generations the church has said, oh my gosh, the darkness is just getting so much darker, it's so much more heinous. And it's interesting because it's always been dark since Adam fell and the lease was taken over by Satan on the earth and the prince and the power of the air. But listen, we can't ever get downtrodden. We are in this world, but we're not of it. And that's not a play on words. That's the reality of what the cross has done in our lives. I remember as a sinner, as a heathen, when I remember the moment Jesus made himself real to me. I remember that point in my life. I thought, oh no, you're kidding me. This Jesus stuff is real. And I told a buddy of mine, Billy Ablin, who used to, for a couple years, he worked for a big corporation, and they said, where do you want to go for your next assignment? He said, I've got to go to Oklahoma. And he took an assignment, and I think in Okmulgee, and so that he could be at church here a couple times a week. And he and I were running buddies, and maybe one of the toughest pound for pound guys I've ever met. But it's interesting. He sat on the front row of the church, but he was there the moment Jesus made himself real to me in the behind the wheel of my vehicle, that he jumped in my in the seat beside me, and he said, man, what's up? And he asked me a few questions, and I couldn't even look at him. I was just looking straight ahead. I said, this Jesus stuff's real. I said something else, but you can't really say that at church. And he said, what? I said, yeah, it's real. Jesus is real. And you know, tonight I want to remind you that he is. And what he wants to do is he wants to come into your story tonight. No matter how bad things seem to be, no matter how suppressed your life may be, the oppression that might be on your life, man, Jesus wants to come in a big way. And all he wants to do, listen, is give you a lift. He just wants to lift your life. And I just believe that by faith tonight. I believe whatever kind of news you've gotten, whatever things you're dealing with, man, we're all dealing with stuff all the time. But you know what? I'm telling you, you go down, you get back up. Man, you feel like there's a hindering force in your life. You know what you do? Man, you run through it. And that's where it's interesting, because the Bible talks about the righteous being able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. But listen, you think about that running through that troop, man, that's the enemy that you're facing. What are you going to do? Man, I'm going through it. I'm going right through. I'm not going to try to avoid the pressure. I'm not going to waste my time going around the prince of the power of the air. I'm going to take it head on, and I'm going to go through it. And then you come to a wall. What do? Man, I leap over that wall. See, that's when we get to a place. The Bible promises that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's through Christ. It's that allowing him to come into our lives and allowing him to affect and dramatically influence our story. Are you with me on this? Man, this is Wednesday night. This is a great opportunity for us to come together as a body of believers. Man, as people, and hear a word of faith and a word of hope and a word of truth and a word of joy and a word of healing tonight. Because I'll tell you, God's presence is here. His presence is in this place. And yeah, you could say, yeah, he's always with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Absolutely, I'm with you. Amen on that. And you might say, man, we've gathered together in the name of Jesus. And he said, every time we do that, he'll join us. And man, he'll be with us. And amen, I believe that too. But then there's those points, those times with God, when God shows up in a way and his word begins to preach in our lives and dramatically change the story that we're in. Do you hear me? See, that's tonight. I'll just tell you, tonight's going to be prophetic for people. Tonight's going to be powerful prayer of faith for people that saves the sick. Tonight's going to be, man, words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Things are going to come out tonight. But listen, it's only for those who have ears to hear. Because listen, this isn't natural speaking that we're doing here. It's not public speaking. It's not that thing that most Americans are scared to death of. No, you know what this is? This is the demonstration of the Spirit of God. It's not the enticing words of men's wisdom. You're not going to get stock tips in here tonight. No, you know what? The bread of life is going to be broken for us to be able to eat with them. And let me tell you, when you come into covenant and you eat with somebody, if you eat with the ruler, listen to this. If you eat with the ruler, that ruler takes on the responsibilities of that house. Just one meal. One meal. Man, you allow, if we allow God tonight to come in and we partake of his table, he'll take responsibility for your house. He'll take responsibility for your bills. He'll take responsibility for your debt. He'll take responsibility of the things that you promised and you shouldn't have. God's going to take responsibility of it tonight because that's what he does. That's why we break the bread of life in our homes, in our church, in our lives, because it's a covenant meal with God. And in that covenant, man, God takes care of all of our need. In the book of Luke, chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, so Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he had done this a number of times before. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And when he handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, that perfect point, let me tell you, he had read there before. But this time when he read, they gave him the book of Isaiah. Now listen. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Man, in the margin of your Bible, write Romans 1, 16 and 17. The gospel of the poor, for Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That righteousness is revealed when the gospel's preached. Now listen, to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the power of God to the poor, circle the word gospel there, and write a little line in the margin of your Bible, write the power of God. See, that changes things. Man, to preach the power of God to the poor. Man, to go to the highways and the hedges. Man, to be in a place where it preaches. Now listen, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, the year of joy. Let me tell you what happens in our lives. What happens in our lives when we receive the gospel, we receive the good news, the power of God into our lives. See, if we've got ears to hear tonight, man, if you could receive the power of God into your life through the preaching of his gospel, listen, man, look at what happens. Man, the areas where you're looking, if you've got a situation in your life that you can't see the way out, you can't see the way through it, man, then your eyes have been blinded because God's always going to provide a way. See, so if God's always going to provide a way and you can't see it, then that means you're blinded to it. What can you be blinded to it by? Your pride? Maybe your bitterness, your unforgiveness? Maybe fear is blinding you? Man, how many of you guys have been in here? Man, I've been blinded by pride before. And you know what the Bible says? Pride comes before the fall. There's a lot of times we're blinded from the truth, but what happens? Man, we trip and we fall. What are we blinded by? We're blinded by pride. Thinking we ought to have more recognition. Thinking we ought to be appreciated more. Thinking that our time's worth a lot more than they're paying us. Let me tell you, I am the first one. Everyone in this room, you probably are worth more than you're getting paid. But guess what? What you're getting paid is not your source. Because let me tell you, you're the apple of God's eye. There is no way that the income that I make from this church is worth the money. It's not worth what I'm worth. Man, we can't pay each other enough to be worth it. Why? Because our value, man, every woman in this house that's married, let me see your hands. The Bible says your value is more than anything that this earth holds. More than rubies, more than precious stones, more than gold, more than silver. Man, I'm telling you that Fort Knox doesn't carry the kind of value that you have in your life. You know why? Just because you're a faithful woman of God. And that's what the Bible says. And see, that's what we've got to believe. But guess what? Man, the spirit of the world can blind us from the truth, getting us worried. How many of you guys have been worried about your finances in the past? And maybe the recent past, just lately, you've been worried about your finances. Man, it's time for you tonight to repent. The spirit of God's here. Because let me tell you, you repent of that worry. And you know what will happen? It'll break the power of the spirit of the world off your money and you won't have to worry about it anymore. If you have a dollar to your name, guess what that is? More than enough. Listen, I know it sounds crazy, but it's not the enticing words of men's wisdom. It's the demonstration of the power of God. It's the demonstration of the gospel of God. Man, the gospel is if you are breathing, you are alive. And you know what you do? You proclaim life. And you know what happens? Life starts sprouting up in front of you. Now, you know what you're doing? You're running. You're walking. Where before you were all lame and you couldn't do it. Now you can walk and you can take some strides. But then guess what happens? Man, that life starts sprouting up. Guess what you start doing? You start running and you start jumping and you start praising God. And then you realize I'm running through the troops of the enemy. How did I get over those walls? How did I get here? This is amazing. Because eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the great things that God has for those who simply put him first. I'm telling you, repent. Be baptized tonight. Be immersed in the presence of God that's here. Man, God has shown up in a way to break every yoke of bondage, remove every burden off of anybody in here, listen, that can receive this truth. See, it's not just that I'm fired up about this. It's not just because it's an opportunity for me to preach. This is what I do for a living. This is who I am. This is who I am. People say, man, if you didn't do what you do, what do you think you'd do? What I do? It's who I am. Man, you put me in another situation or another environment. You know what the Bible says? A leopard doesn't change its spots. You know what I'd be doing? I'd be doing this to somebody. See, because this right here, listen, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me and he has anointed me. Man, his presence is upon my life. Man, to preach the gospel, the power of God to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now listen, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of jubilee, the year of joy in people's lives. But you know what? That year of joy, jubilee, that year, the acceptable year of the Lord has to be proclaimed. You keep your mouth all shut up about and you go through life just all okey. Guess what's going to happen? You're not going to experience that the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of jubilee, the year of joy. Trust me, I've been there. Man, that path of the righteous, man, that we're in right standing with God. Like we've never sinned before. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed. They were just dumbstruck by him. Now listen, verse 21, and he began to say to them, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Do you see that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This scripture is fulfilled because you are here and you have heard it. Is that everybody in here? Hope so. But the reality is, man, some of you guys are punch drunk from religion and you can't hear it. Man, some of you guys just, man, you're just miring in the way it is. Well, the way it is. I'm just disadvantaged. Let me tell you something. God loves you enough for you to be disadvantaged if that's your choice. But I'm telling you, it's time for us to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of joy. Any of you guys up for a year of joy? Anybody walk in today, man, Pastor, can you pray for me? I just got so much joy. I'll tell you what, I don't know what to do with it. Man, my joy, man, I'll tell you, with that joy, man, it's a... The joy has become my strength, and man, I'm just so strong now. Man, can you help me? Can you counsel me? I'm just so strong. I don't know what to do with it. It's bumming me out because with that strength, I'm strong in the Lord. So now, man, all my need is met, and I got all this resource and all these finances. Man, I just got so much money. People are looking at me and they're judging me because I'm getting blessed. Man, it's a burden that I gotta carry. And then you'll hear people that'll say, "Heavy is the crown." Like what? The crown we wear is light. The burden of that crown is easy. The world wants to give you an easy way out. But it's fake. You can't take that easy way out. You got to hear the word. He said the scripture is fulfilled in you hearing it. Someone has proclaimed it. See, it's so funny how the freaking devil, I'll just tell you, people say, well, all those preachers, all they want are big churches, just more people. Yeah, guilty, I do. I want a big church, I want more people. Why? I want more people to be fulfilled in the hearing of that scripture. Well, you know, it's just too big. I can't get my needs met. Are you kidding me? Are you looking for some man or some woman or a couple or a team to fill your need? You can't find a church small enough to fill your need if you're looking for people to do it. Can you hear me? Well, it's just hard to connect. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. It's hard for you to be in control. There's no politics here. We're not playing politics. Man, we've got incredible elders in this church. The expectations on them is their butts are sitting in these services. They're on the ready. They're going to catch everything. They're the net. And they don't just get to say, "Hey, we're going fishing for sea bass. We're only gonna fish for salmon." No, we're fishing with a net. Sometimes you get mackerel. Sometimes you get stinkfish. Sometimes you get whatever. See, we've got to see things correctly. We've got to hear what God's saying. God's talking to people in here tonight. The Spirit of God's ministering to you right now. I'm telling you, he's not going to yell or scream. It's going to be a still, small voice that God's going to operate in. In Galatians, the third chapter, are you with me in the book of Galatians this month? Kinda. Galatians 3:5. Therefore, now listen to this. This is a mouthful. This is why we read God's word. Okay, how many of you guys are ready to just to hear something tonight? And for the Spirit of God to move on your behalf and change everything. Anybody ready for that? How many of you guys just want things the way they are? You don't want to have to change. You're managing your debt well enough. And you know what? You're pretty healthy. You might live another you got everything. Man, my wife's not griping at me very much. Man, I got her dialed in. I got her trained upright. So now I don't have to deal with anything like that. No, that's not where we live. Man, we're all looking for breakthrough in our lives. Anybody here looking for breakthrough? No, true, real breakthrough. Galatians 3:5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? Above that, your Bible, just put right the word no. Or by the hearing of faith. Underline or circle or highlight that. The hearing of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear the word of God and faith rises up in us, what happens? The dynamics. It's two things. Two things. Listen, it supplies the Spirit to you, this faith does, and it works miracles among you. See, that's what happens here. This isn't just some little teaching time. We're not having a little Bible study here. Man, this isn't a little support group for you. I'm not getting up here saying, hi, my name's Bill, and I'm an idiot. No, you know what? Man, we're going from dark to light, from the power of Satan to the power of the living God. And what is that hearing the word and hearing scripture? What does it do in your lives? It supplies the Spirit to you. See, you're looking at your life and you're thinking, man, why aren't things working out? Man, Sandy, it's got to be like this for people where they're thinking, I don't know, the Spirit's just far from me. I don't sense the Spirit in my life. Man, I'm telling you, you can't not sense the Spirit in your life because what for? Why? Because it supplies the Spirit to you and it works miracles among you. See, that's what this faith does. That's what us hearing His word does in our life. Let's keep reading. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, I've read that, and it's poetic. It just rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? But guess what? He believed God and it was accounted to him as a man without sin. Do you understand that's what righteousness is? Being right with God means you don't have any sin in your life. And you're going, wait a second, I remember some pretty ridiculous sin that's in my life. Yet, you know what? The forgiveness of God, He doesn't. And what He's doing, what is the word there? It says that He's accounting him. There's an account, the accounting in heaven. The way God accounts unto you is what He does, is He accounts you what? Righteous. Because of the finished work of Christ, because of God's grace that's operative in your life. Not because of what you've done. Man, what was it a couple verses before? Is this the works of the law that brought this to you? Are the hearing of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. And you begin to profess that over your life. You begin to profess. What do you believe in God for? What's in front of you right now where you're thinking, you know what? Man, my boys and my future and my heart and my peace. And man, you know what you do? Your boys, you proclaim God's word. Your future, you proclaim God's word. Man, whatever it is, you've got to have something to stand on. But too many people are living in hope. Man, we sing that song, healing is here, healing is here. And there's so many people in hope for healing. They are. What do you believe God for? Healing. Okay, good. You and most of the world. Do you understand that? That doesn't separate you, us, from them. You're not listening to me. See, this faith requires specifics. I'm hoping it's going to work out. Yeah, you and your Muslim neighbor. Yeah, you and the people at the casino tonight are, let me tell you, they're in a higher level of hope than us right now, aren't they? You ever been to a casino? You in some hope? Huh? You're operating some hope. You know why? You're married to Janelle. You can't go home. You can't be going home and going, hey, honey, I went to the casino, you know. It'll be okay, though. I'll get these. I'll go back to work on Monday, and I'll get them. That doesn't happen. I'm just playing. But the point is, long time. It's been months, I bet. Elder Eric. But do you hear me? Faith is specific. See, we just read through it. The Spirit of God's anointed me upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel of the poor, to proclaim the, and we skip through it all. How many blind eyes were opened by Jesus? Let me tell you what it became for blind people in his day. It became a heyday. You know what? They find out that somebody says, okay, I'll be the blind guy. Joel, you be a disciple, and you be the precursor of Jesus, and you be letting people know Jesus was on his way. Okay, go ahead. Okay, we'll try it over here, okay? We'll go from Oaky to Deep Oaky, okay? Wes, yes. You be the disciple to proclaim Jesus is coming. I'll be the blind guy, okay? Ready, go ahead, Wes.
Jesus is here. The blind will see.
Okay, I got it. That's a product of the internship right there. He's got some preach in him now. Okay, let's pause with the Jesus is here part, okay? But I'm the blind guy, and I hear Jesus is coming. I'm like, hold it. Perfect. The recovery of sight to the blind. Son of David! And then finally, they hear a voice. It's, what do you want? Come over here. What do you want that I might see? Why? It was proclaimed as a boy. He was a man for that, but a boy, we look at it as boys now. Young men. Man, the Spirit of God's upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, the recovery of sight to the blind. And let me tell you the dynamics. Jesus said it. They heard it. Guess what? It was fulfilled. Now there's sight for blind people. Now listen. See, the difficult thing about this is too many people are hoping that they can see, hoping they regain their sight, hoping they receive their healing. God, I know you promised healing. Man, God, heal me. Okay, you're in a strong stance of hope. God's going to heal me. I know it's going to happen. Man, how about a stand of faith? Man, I just had to come to a place just recently. I had to come and say, you know what? God, that you live in me. Or I live in you. And your words live in me. And I ask whatever I will, and you do it for me. And then I asked. And you know what? It happened. And you know what I had to fight? I'm telling you, tooth and nail. It's fear and doubt and unbelief. I'm like, hey, every 10 minutes I want to say, have you heard anything? Hey, did you guys hear anything? Wes, you hear anything? Hey, did you guys? No, that's not a place of faith. That I live in him, his words live in me. I've asked. I was very clear. I was very distinct. There were people around. Now I just believe it. What is believing it? That's trusting that it is. See, it's what's interesting is in our Bibles, in Genesis, the Bible says that God said, let there be light. The original translation is just light be. And then it said, and then it goes a few verses later, it says, and let us make man in our own image. That sound like God? That doesn't sound like God to me. That sounds like a whimsical kind of poet or something. And let us make man in our own image. Let him have dominion. No, you know what he said? Man be. That's what he said. There wasn't any letting to it. There wasn't any letting with the light. He said, light be. My glory be. Messiah be. See, we've got to proclaim it. You know what that is? That's faith. That's the God kind of faith. Verse 7, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, this is amazing. I wish I had was one of those kind of preachers that was technical. Kevin, you got to help me with this, where I could circle things while I'm talking. I don't even know if those guys are out there, but I would like to be that guy. Listen, will you guys read this with me, okay? Let's read this scripture together. You guys ready? You guys on that side, look at the, is that one on? They're both on?
No.
Oh, those. I wanted to. Okay. We're getting rid of half of the media department. That half, whoever they are. Okay, let's all read this. Ready? Read. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now listen to this. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now let's read this, okay? With, and let's add the comma after scriptures, the comma after scripture, and the comma after faith. Let's not read those words, that phrase, okay? Let's leave out foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, okay? You understand what I'm saying now, Scott? Is that clear? We're just going to read it now, but we're going to delete foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. Just to make a point, we're not going to take anything from God's word. Ready? Read. And the scripture preached the gospel. Stop. Do you see what happened there? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, Jesus was the Word made flesh. Now the scripture itself, the scripture himself preaches. You see how this happens now? Wait a second, we become as him. And he said, man be in our image. He's talking about his word. He's talking about his promise. Do you understand? When Jesus went to the Godhead, he rose from the dead, and he walked on this earth, and on the day of ascension, he ascended into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Do you understand? He was a man who entered the Godhead. Do you understand? He was 100% God. He was 100% man. And when he ascended into heaven, he was a man who sat at the right hand of God. And you know where we are right now? We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We have to look at this, that it's not robbery for us to be equal with God. Why? Jesus sits there on our behalf. And the scripture preached the gospel to Abraham before him, saying, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He was a man accounted unto righteousness, like he never sinned. See, that's why he's the father of the faith. That's why we're the seed of Abraham. That and only that. It's because God accounted unto him just like he accounts unto you and me. That's why we can have peace. That's why we can have liberty. That's why we can be free. Because sin isn't holding me back anymore. Sin isn't choking me off anymore. Sin isn't pressing me down anymore. No, you know what? We're his man. We're God men and God women. God's accounted unto us righteousness. God's keeping track of you, but not your sin. So nothing separates you from him now. See, so now instead of us just like this right here, and this hit me today. I'm looking, I thought, that's an interesting phrase they put in there, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Huh. And then I looked at it and I thought, and the scripture preached the gospel to Abraham. I was amazed by that. And I was thinking about this, that every time we get in the word, what do? We break the bread of life. And what's the standard of covenant? Man, when you're in covenant, Sandy and I are in covenant. So guess what now? All of her bills are mine. All of my bills are hers. All of her blessings are mine. All of my blessings are hers. I'm in covenant with God. All my bills are his. He's taking responsibility for my house. This is amazing. This gives me such a freedom and such a liberty. But you have to understand there's a difference between hope and faith. I'm hoping it works out. Yeah, that's a great place to start, you and most of the rest of the world. But guess what? People standing in faith have a promise that they're standing on. Man, I'll tell you, you get there's a little booklet. If you're believing God for health, you get that little booklet that's in the bookstore. You know what? If somebody's not there, they're not looking, just grab one and put it in your purse and go, run. But get that, read that, and read it, and underline it, and reread it. And guess what? That word of faith's going to get in you. In Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What's the blessing of Abraham? It was accounted unto him righteous. Now I'm righteous. I'm in right standing with God. I'm not living on this earth as a mere man. There's a natural worldly level, and there's a godly heavenly level. And you know what God does? God accounts unto us to be able to live at his level. I mean, if I ask you, is there sin in heaven? You'd say no. I'd say, okay, is there sickness in heaven? No. You know why? None of that has dominion because of the presence of God. Now, when the heavens open up above our life, and it's on earth as it is in heaven, then guess what happens? Sin, sickness, indebtedness, misery, strife, pride, none of that stuff. Can stand in the presence of God. So we live in his presence. So here we are. The whole thing, God set this up for me tonight. Man, the music was so wonderful, so beautiful. It was such a great spirit of worship. Yeah, all that, I guess. The presence of God was here. The presence of God is here. His scripture is preaching. And you know what it's doing? It's accounting unto you righteousness. I'll tell you, that's more than good news, it's the gospel. It's the power of God.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.